The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFURP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at BeardedDragonGames.online. Also, a special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. To get 10% off your order and to help support the show, use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout or use the link in the show notes.
Old World fans, the Professional Casual Network is starting a slow grow campaign in February 2024. The best part is, you can participate no matter where you are in the world. All you have to do is join our Discord and track your army's progress in the slow grow channels. We're starting February at 500 points and adding 250 points every month until we reach 2,000 points in August. Started late? Not a problem. Come join us in Discord to track your progress, get hobby tips, and help keep us all accountable throughout this campaign. Come grow with us in the old world. Hey, my Elector Casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls. We have a very special episode today on the best old world podcast on the internet. We actually have the man who coined the term Electric Casuals here on the podcast with us, as well as my friend Dan. We've got Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, that's me. I'm Ben.
That's you. Welcome.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
I don't know if I should call you Ben or Right Matt or what would you like?
His Holiness works fine.
His so. Holiness.
That works fine. Ben's fine. Yeah. Most people will know me in the MCP world as Right Mad or Ben. But I'm glad to be talking about Old World. I'm really excited about the game, and it's good to get some Warhammer Fantasy back.
Yeah. Yo, square bases, man.
Oh, yeah. Love me some squares. Yeah.
Square bases.
So exciting.
But before we get into the square bases, we'll stick around. Don't worry. As always, before we get started, huge Dowie thank you. For those of you that don't know, that means dwarf.
We know.
To our beautiful and wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his laundry soap, which is very gross. Very, very gross. But, you know, just keep plugging us on Patreon and he won't have to do that anymore.
Times is rough.
It gets real rough. Like, when he's at cons and he's got it in that little bottle, I'm like, dude, you don't have to do that. But huge special thanks to our top patrons here, X-Paxis, Rob, Dagna, Cider Drinker, Tony Hot Hands, Otis, Leroy, Iron Maze, Wizard Skills, Bicon, Briar Mage, Tau, Cliff Jumper, and James. And very special shout out to our Electric Casuals, Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan, Cliff, Pagan Prince, and oh my gosh, Rev Wrightman.
Wait,
that's me. That's you. That's me. Thank you specifically for supporting us, my man.
That's me. That's me. I'm a casual. It's fine.
Yes, but you're elected casual.
I was elected casual. It's
important. What? It's how that works, Dan.
Real quick, I want to piggyback off the soap thing from like a minute ago now.
Sure.
I thought it was very funny. My mom has been visiting us, helping with like half days with the kids in school. And she was talking about something and she's just like, yeah, so I decided to switch to solid shampoo. And I looked up for what I was doing at the table. I think I was gluing models to new bases. And I went, Mom, solid shampoo? And she's like, yeah, you just like rub it on your head and it lathers up. And I go, Mom, that's just soap. And she gave me this look and she's like, all right, you know, you're not wrong.
That's incredible.
And she's like, you know, my dad used to wash his hair with was Dove soap every day, and he had the most beautiful hair, and I was like, do you use this soap too? And she was like, no, it was weird. And I was like, you just said he had gray hair though. So apparently that's a thing, calling soap solid shampoo.
Only when you use it for your hair though.
Yeah. Right? And which not as lunch or snacks.
Then it's solid lunch.
Yeah.
Right?
That was very funny.
Sudsy lunch, I guess. Can we also refer to your mom as Her Holiness because she was a priest?
Former Holiness. She's retired.
She's retired. That's correct. Yeah.
Oh, she's still holy. Don't worry. It's fine. It's fine.
Right. It never goes out of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Anyways.
She's still scary when she wants to be.
See, there you go. That's key of holiness is just a booga booga booga.
Right. And she's also a mom. So like she has that extra layer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I get it.
For sure. But Ben. Thank you for being here. I'm so glad that you could be here to chat with us today, honestly. Are you ready? You want to jump into some questions, my dude?
Yeah, man. I like questions.
We got questions.
I made Dan write his in the last 5 minutes. It's great.
I did write two of them.
You wrote three of them. This one clearly says not written by Taylor.
It does say that.
We have
a Google Doc, though. We can look at who did what.
But we don't have to do that, you know? It's like we could just take people by their word. I'm lying in front of a holy man. This is not good.
Well, as JB once said on Gapapa, sometimes people lie, Taylor.
Anyways, we love to get to know our guests on the show and, you know, how they started specifically with Warhammer Fantasy and, you know, Minis career. So tell us a bit about your Minis career, Ben, and, you know, when and why did you start collecting fantasy specifically?
Yeah, so it was actually at Millennium Games in Rochester. Some of our listeners in New York may be familiar with nice. Millennium Games. And I was probably... It was just shortly after we arrived. My family has been nomadic pretty much the vast majority of my life. We've only lived in one location for 4 years at most. So we've you know hopped around a whole bunch. So I think when we arrived in New York, it was I think around middle school age. So I might have been like 11, 12, 13, somewhere around there.
Sure. Yep.
And I saw the coolest orc and goblin army, just like super bright and colorful. And I had no idea what that was. And I just wanted it. I just needed it. I was a big fan of Lord of the Rings growing up, reading the Lord of the Rings books and The Hobbit and loved fantasy. So, I slowly started just buying with the little money that I had at the time, just like, oh, here's a box of green things that looks like an orc to me. And it says orc on the box. So we did it and instantly ran into trouble because it didn't come fully assembled. On the box, right? Doesn't, you know, and I'm just some idiot kid, which isn't much different than I am now. But
it's so just some age difference there.
I got a beard now, is pretty much the difference. Started collecting orcs and goblins first. And by start collecting, I mean, I bought two boxes. And then, like, threw it away because I didn't know how to build it.
Oh.
And then shortly, it was maybe, like, a year or two after I bought are you ready for this? I can't remember what edition it was. I should have looked it up before. But the starter box of Bretonnia versus Lizardmen.
Yeah.
Remember that box? And I was determined. I'm gonna crack this code. And those Lizardmen were, like, the worst-looking models. They were just so goofy, but here's these like cool, you know, lizard models and knights. I just loved it. And so I finally figured it out. I used normal scissors and Elmer's glue. I kid you not. Because I didn't know.
I just imagine how long you have to sit there holding it.
Oh no. They had droopy heads. Every part was droopy. I was like, man, these guys don't look anything like what other people are playing with. My guys look really derpy. I don't understand.
So wait. Before we go any further, I have to ask, do you still have those models?
No.
No,
I do not.
I thought it would be a low chance, but you never know.
Yeah.
It was an incredible story.
It was just the horse's head just kind of like drooping off the horse. It was glorious. My mom was like, what are you doing? What is this? This is okay, whatever. So eventually, as I got older and brought those models to the store one day, they're like, what is this just horrid monstrosity? This is what you need to do. And so thankfully, a couple of the guys at the store coached me up and we got the right like plastic cutters and the glue that you need to use. And they taught me how to do it. So after then, my investments were not just being thrown away in that. So I destroyed all of those models with Elmer's glue and that. So I jumped back to Orcs and Goblins and actually built them. So that was the first deployed models on the actual table that like were not falling apart or Orcs and Goblins.
That's always a feel good moment.
Yes, it was great. And so really, and I just caught the bug, you know, after that, you know, like I said, it was about 13, 14 at that, the time and just loved everything. And, you guys know, I have severe army ADD. Like, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I want this army now. And, and so I just started collecting everything and wasting, you know, not wasting, but spending all of my money. I didn't have much of it. It was like $60 in and $60 out. It was, I bought Madden and Warhammer models. That was it. That was pretty. And pizza. That was the three things that I ran my life on.
You know, 2/3 of those things, you're talking to the right people, you know?
Right. It was great. So, it was wonderful. I will never forget my first actual game was Orcs and Goblins versus High Elves. And I failed every animosity check.
Yep.
And killed half my army while this jerk was like, I stand on this hill and shoot you and kill you. began my hatred of elves. Like just instantly was like, I hate you forever. I have hatred.
Your first opponent. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Dude, it was, and I was just a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. He's like, yeah, you can roll animosity 1. Oh, it's great. It was great. So I didn't take any black orcs. I didn't know what those things were. I was like, I just run forward and hit stuff. So
I'm a big green man. I'm going to punch things.
It was cool. I think in D&D, I was playing like a half orc barbarian. You know, that was the dream. So from Orcs and Goblins went to a serious beastman army. And that was
now we're talking.
Super fun. And actually ran Beastman until I went off to college and stopped playing. I moved into fantasy a little bit more 40K sure. In college.
Yep.
And suffered. That was great. It was really much pretty much after college I got back into fantasy. So when I received my first appointment, my first church as a senior pastor in, just outside of Fredericksburg, Virginia, I hadn't collected models for a while, and just wanted to do it again. And, I can't remember what I picked up, what was the first, because in the 2 years, Alyssa and I lived in Fredericksburg, I had, Beastmen, Bretonians. Oh, what was it? It was, oh my goodness. Why am I blanking out now?
We put you on the spot. That's what.
No. Oh, Vampire Counts. That was, yeah. Vampire Counts was
nice.
Vampire Counts. And each time I like would sell the other army. Cause I was like, all right, well, I can't, you know, I'm a poor preacher. I can't afford to have all of these armor. So I'll just sell this one and get another one. And, And my poor wife, who has no, she's raised Southern Baptist, has not, like, no idea the nerd world that she has entered. And I was like, look at these new plastic toys. Like, she watched me one day struggling to build some Dark Eldar that we had, that I had picked up. And she's like, you look like you're really struggling.
Thanks.
And the answer was, yes, dear, I am tremendously. And she helped me, and that was her mistake 10 years ago. And ever since, she's been helping me build armies, and she's only, she paint, does all the painting now. So, haha, I got you. I love you.
She does a darn good job though.
She does a really wonderful job. And, so that was that. That was a really long answer.
That's all right.
To a short question.
Yeah.
What was the question?
I blacked out. Yeah.
We're talking about fantasy. Like,
oh, I love fantasy. Wrong,
you know? But no, that's super dope. And even though I do love me some dwarves, you know, hearing people start out with a green tide is also just always super fun. Always super fun. Dan, well,
you get to yell wah. So
yeah. It's you can always tell when somebody's playing Warhammer Orcs at a game store.
Right? Yes. Yeah. We're not bashful about it.
Or a convention. It's so good.
Dan.
Huh?
Do you have a question that I didn't write to read off?
I mean, he kind of already answered it. Taylor did not write this question. Have Brett's always been your army of choice? Have you ever dabbled into other better realms like dwarves? Not written by Taylor. I mean,
So I can confidently say I have never played dwarves.
This has been fun. Thanks for being here, man.
I will say I agree with the Dowie standard of magic is for nerds. And that's actually one of the main reasons why I fell in love with Bretonnia. I read a lot of Arthurian myths growing up. That was very influential in my adolescence and still to this day. I just love reading Arthurian myths. And so I just loved Bretonnia. But I was very much intimidated to collect them in a serious way from the hobby standpoint. You'd see these beautifully painted knights with all these different colors and heraldry. And I know I could never do that. I was very much okay running gray miniatures. I'm not so much now, so that's why I dabbled in almost everything, but Bretonnia has always been my love. And a very close second, has been Kislev. And so, with the old world teasing us with the eventual, coming of Kislev, I know that I will be dabbling into them.
Everybody will. My
poor kids' college fund, you know?
I mean, yeah, they need college. They need Kislev.
You know? Right. Ice weapons. That's what you need.
Right. Yeah. Who's going to defend against chaos? You know, your kids can go to Prague. It'll be fine. And a couple of mutations won't kill them. Right.
Yeah. We live in upstate New York. They got to get used to the cold anyways.
It's basically the same. I mean, upstate New York is Kislev. So
right next to Canada, which is the chaos. No, I'm kidding.
Some of the Shark Tank is listening.
I love our upstairs neighbors, I swear.
Sorry.
So, I've been to Canada. It's total aside. Been to Canada a couple of times. Dan and his brother Timmy and I went the most recent time to Mini War Gaming. We went to the vault and we were walking. We parked somewhere, walking back to Mini War Gaming, and there was a bus driving down the street, and the bus said, "Out of order. Sorry." Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
It's like, this is the most Canadian bus in the entire world.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if it was the New York bus, it would be like, out of order,
screw you, nerd. You know, big old middle finger, you know?
Out of order. Hey, you're walking here.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Dan, for reading that that question that you absolutely wrote.
Yeah, clearly not written by Taylor. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
It also, like, doesn't have my signature right there somehow. Let's... Sorry, it's so stupid. Let's jump over to some other miniatures games you play. So, like, how are you handling the transition between MCP and Old World? And I mainly ask this as I know you are a top level competitive MCP player, and I'm very much so not. So wondering if you have had any struggles, like anything that's like kind of getting in the way.
Growing like, pains.
Right. The two games are very different, obviously. So like.
Yeah, super different. Super different games. The biggest hurdle right now is I forgot how much I hate building armies. you're so used to MCP, you know, I'm bringing, you know, 11, 12 models, yeah, right? Yep. You know, unless you're playing timelines and that's 30, you know? But I just got finished building all of my peasants from the start box, and that's 45, 48, you know, peasants, you know? And it's just so, I'm like, as I'm building this, like, there's so many. I haven't even started the knights yet, you know.
And the man played orcs.
Yeah. I was just like, joyfully lived in bliss for quite some time of playing, you know, a skirmish game.
yeah.
But so I have gotten a couple old world games in at some low point values. I've played a 500, 750, and 1,000.
Nice.
Haven't really felt too much of, a struggle, except like because I've just been so familiar with, miniature games for a long time. A lot of it makes sense. Play mm-hmm. fantasy. So a lot of it is just getting out of old edition habits. Right.
Sure.
But one of my approach to Old World is very different to my approach at MCP. The way, when Alyssa and I were talking of whether or not we wanted to get into Old World, or more specifically, if she was going to allow me to get into Old World, was, do I want to take this competitively, right? Do I want to, is there a drive for me to go to events, win tournaments, run sweaty stuff, the most optimal things? And it didn't take me too long to realize I had zero desire to do that. I love Warhammer Fantasy for the story, for the lore, for the setting. And I love playing fluffy lists, or lists that make sense within the lore, running formations that are not Linehammer. When people started coming out with Linehammer, I just started going insane, and that kind of really, it was like, nope, I just don't want to do that. People, who are a little bit more competitive or have that desire to do that, they can do that, and that's totally fine.
Well, to be fair, we've also learned that that's not particularly good anyway.
Yes. Yeah. The 750 point game, a guy did that. And I'm like, I just want you to know that my Bretonian Duke on Pegasus is really stoked about you doing this line, because I'm going to kill all of you.
So, I can't wait to murder this entire thing.
Yeah, just like, and sleep, sweet prince. So that was really fun. It was like a bunch of Empire crossbowmen. Like, good night. Just for the lady.
You have what, 10 strength 3 attacks once I get into combat?
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you.
Yeah, just want to let you know I'm hitting you first and you're all dead. So that's my approach. And obviously, as the game gets bigger, there's more things that are happening. And maybe I'm in the minority here. I really love the changes to the magic phase.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I think, and it's cause it's not a phase, but how they've changed magic. I think it's a little bit more intuitive. It feels more flowy mm-hmm. with the whole game.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of a takeaway from Age of Sigmar. I've really enjoyed that.
If you're going to say his name on this podcast, you have to say it right.
Age of Sigma.
There we go.
There we go. Sigma.
Sigma.
Yeah. So, just a little Sigma break, right? Yeah, sorry.
Right. Right. Nap is the best of us, right?
So I really do approach this game in that with that mindset, and having a lot of like turn zero conversations with my opponents, of going, "Hey, this is what I prefer to play." You know, even before we show up, this is what I'm going to be bringing. You know, what is your desire out of the game? I think that's really important in this, because I'm hauling all these models. I actually want to have a good time.
Yep.
And so if someone's come in, you know, with a super competitive, I want to swing for the fences and wreck face. And I'm coming at a different approach.
Yep.
Probably both of us, but definitely one of us is not going to have a good time. And you're investing 2 to 3 hours, if not more, as you're learning the game. And that just doesn't seem great for me. And as I get older and as I have less time to play these games, especially long games like this, I really want to kind of maximize the efficiency of playing the game and having fun. So that's how I kind of approach it. Which is very different than MCP. Like I said, you've named it well. I tend to hold MCP in a little bit more competitive way, even though I've gotten really good at turning that switch off and suffering by playing Winter Guard. So that's always fun. It's always a good way. You know, when I'm playing Winter Guard, that's the type of attitude I'm coming. So. So it's,
hey, they are by no means no pushover. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's not like, you know, Shield, but,
Well, yeah. It's just, important for me. And I hope many, wargamers, hobbyists can have, you know, two different systems, you know, a competitive system where they want to win, have fun, you know, do those things. And then a game that, you know, is a little bit more chill, maybe more narrative focused, or
your beer and pretzels.
Yeah.
Yep. Hang out on a Sunday or Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I like what you said a little while ago, where it was like, hey, here's my intention on this game. And I wish more people would have that discussion before they do pick up games, because it would save so much headache for a lot of folks, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is something that I should have done. I was supposed to show up to a game last week or a couple of weeks ago. Anyways, and I, you know me, I'm goofy. I like writing weird stuff, right? So I was showing up with a goofy list, and the guy was showing up with like an all-comer list.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm kind of glad we didn't play, because this would not have gone well for you. I'm like, no, it wouldn't have, but I would have had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, but if he's trying to like test out for a tournament, he's probably not going to have a good time, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You can see, I don't know if you've seen the all dwarf copter list that's been floating around.
Oh my gosh.
Right. That's going to be a different experience, right?
Like, correct.
So yeah, having those conversations, I think is just enhanced my experience, playing all sorts of games, especially, you know, also, MCP, you know, just say, hey, what do you want? Are you looking for, you know, a fun game? This is what I've got. If you're looking to test some stuff, hey, look, we'll go to the forge and start slap around some stuff and see what comes out of it. So,
I know you love a good slapping.
Look, you know, the king of slaps right here. So
awesome.
All right. So talking about, from other miniatures games and coming back to fantasy and having to be so different compared to something like Marvel Crisis Protocol, where you get a box of typically two minis, so you got those to paint. So do you paint or plan to paint your Bretonnian Knights as individuals and do it more like MCP, like you're painting a couple models at a time, or do you plan on making them a bit more uniform to make it quicker? Or should I ask Alyssa this question?
Yeah, I mean that's definitely the heart of it is Alyssa does all of the painting, and thanks be to God for her, and just having a spouse who is a partner in the hobby is such a wonderful gift. It really is. So we game plan all of our painting for MCP, for other we played War Machine Hordes.
We played that game.
I'm sorry?
What'd you play?
So I played Kador. Was my main
had to be
for a while until they Mark III had a little bit more of the Blind Water Congregation, the Gators.
Oh yeah, nice. The wrestlers.
Oh dude,
I guarantee.
Once they got some more stuff, I jumped into Gator Town and never left. Alyssa played Retribution.
I knew that was gonna be hers.
Yeah, she played Retribution and had a lot of fun. That was actually her first real competitive game. We tried to get her into fantasy, and fantasy was okay. Didn't super love it, but it was okay. Played 40K, hated it. I think there was a couple other games that we tried. But then one day we played Warmer Hordes together and she fell in love with it. So
heck yeah,
that was her first venture into miniature gaming and then really into competitive gaming, until she really fell in love with MCP. So,
yeah, when you have a lady who throws her hair around like Medusa does, right? What's not to love?
Yeah. Oh, you know, after that awful show too, just
right,
which was like she fell in love with humans watching that show. It was like, doesn't even make sense, she doesn't have her hair, but that's another story for another cast.
She even liked the show that everybody else hated.
It drives me nuts. She's like, I love that show. Like, I just walk away.
Super friend of the network Wraith also loved that show.
Yeah
what?
Shout out to Wraith. Well, and Alyssa and Wraith are good friends. So
right,
I actually never watched it, so I can't say anything. Well, you know, because I heard nothing good about it. I was like, I'm not going to waste my time.
Don't waste your time. to circle back, so our plan for our Bretonnian models is the power phase. So the plan is that all of the peasants will be uniformed to a knight. So different peasant units will look different from each other, but will be uniformed based on the heraldry of a specific knight. So once I get the leaders kind of marked out of all of the dukes, the paladins, the grail knights, the peasants will look like them. So there'll be uniformity for the peasants. But the plan is that every knight will be unique. With his own heraldry, with his own color scheme. And Alyssa is not stoked about that. she was like, I was showing her pictures and, you know, she would counter them with other pictures of Bretonnian knights, you know, some people doing kind of like a Crusades theme, you know, sure, so there's a lot of uniformity, with that. And I think those are cool. Really appreciate the lore behind every knight, you know, being pulled from his own region, his own barony, bringing some knights, some squires with him or her. It's important, new lore, or her, to the battlefield and having some representation. So I think it's great. And I think colorful Bretonnian armies are by far my favorite.
Yeah.
So there is a Bretonnian army that I adore that is the same color, and it's the yellow and black Bretonnian army. I don't know what the name of, like, if it's a That's faction. Beyond. Yeah. Beyond, it's gorgeous. Just unbelievably beautiful. But Rainbow Brett's armies, in my opinion, are hands down the best.
It's such a unique look on the tabletop. No other army can pull off the huge variety of color you can have with all the knightly orders and not knightly orders, that's Empire, but all the different knightly heraldry that you can have spread throughout your whole army. Like, no one else can do that and have it look good.
Love the idea of having the peasants of the knight show up to battle. That's so dope.
It makes so much sense too.
Yeah.
Like they are his vassals.
Exactly. You know, every night, and you know, if you read the lore, that's what they do. They show up, you know, the king or the duke, whoever is calling them to battle will request that, that they bring some of their own soldiers. Right. And, so this, that just made the most sense to me. Now there's, I saw some really cool at the end of Fantasy, the Grand Army of Leoncourt, and having some uniformity, and those looked really cool as well. But for me, my mindset, you know, is kind of reclaiming some of that Arthurian myths. All of the knights of the Round Table had their own heraldry, had their own colors, and that was way how they were able to kind of claim their own glory in battle, right? Well, if you all look the same, it's hard to say, well, who did that? Who chopped that, you know, that goblin's head off, right? You know, or whatever it may be, with every knight being unique in his own sense, you don't have to worry about that. So, it's a long term project. And like I said, Alyssa and I realized that, you know, because this isn't a competitive game for us, we're able to not push it on the back burner, but say, look, this is going to be a project, a labor of love, right? Mm, so we don't need to rush this. And that's giving us a lot of time to honor this the best way that we can.
So if Alyssa comes running in and she's upset for whatever reason, unless she's sitting right there, I did just send her a picture of some Bretonian knights that look really good with some inspiration. Haha.
Yeah. Yeah, she is not too far, and she's not happy. I just love the Rainbow Brettes. Like I said, it's one of my great fantasies is just that knightly charge into a line of, you know, marauding crazy worshippers of Khorne or these swaths of orcs and goblins just taking the full brunt of a lance, you know, with Sabaton playing in the background, right? Just, you know, it's just freaking baller to me. And so, I can't think in Warhammer Fantasy, there's nothing cooler than a charge of Bretonian knights.
Lance formation too.
It's just great. So like I said, I love vampire counts. I love lizard men. I think those models are great. I think what's really cool, and I'm really glad that the old world community is finding ways to take some of these Age of Sigmar models and just inserting them into fantasy, because some of these models just look great. And you just got, you know, finagle them a little bit to get them into rank and file, which isn't the most difficult thing to do. And that stuff really pays off. So, you know, I encourage you, if you're listening, don't be dissuaded if maybe those models don't exist for old world, but if they, you know, in some way exist in Sigmar, buy those Sigmar models. I can't tell you how many Blood Knight models that I've seen from Sigmar come into old world and they look amazing.
Dude, those new Blood Knights are gorgeous. I
love them so much. I just saw a wonderful quote unquote conversion of the Warriors of Chaos models. I don't know exactly what they're called in Sigmar, but they're big chunky metal warriors, you know, that are just Chaos Warriors on foot. Yeah.
That's still what they're called, I'm pretty sure.
I think so. But they're just bigger. They look better than the old Chaos Warriors, you know, who were just like thick boys. You know, and if I remember correctly, like some of the posts that GW was saying was like, well, they wanted to be very specific of making sure the models could rank properly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get that. In Age of Sigmar, you don't have to worry about that. There is no ranking in Age of Sigmar, but I've seen so many people just finagle, you know, these models in the right position. You can make it work. You can make these beautiful models.
Yeah, man.
Allow me to say, I appreciate a lot of things that GW does. and loathe many other things that, they do.
I think it's pretty fair for most GW players.
Yeah, you know, but I you have to give credit where credit is due. Man, they can make a beautiful model.
For real.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, it's funny you bring up the Chaos Warrior stuff, because I actually bought the Slaves to Darkness Vanguard box when we were at Adepticon to build those models for Old World. And thank goodness the Chaos Warriors are on 30 millimeter bases, because they would not rank up on 25s.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And like, I had to number them on the bottom of the base so I know what order to put the models in so they will rank up properly.
Exactly.
And then the knights were actually more difficult, just 5 knights. But I think it's going to be absolutely worth it because they look fantastic. And I just need to, once the new Dark Oath box goes up for pre-order, I'm going to get that to fill out the rest of the army with a bunch of marauders.
Yeah, those marauders,
they look great.
Oh yeah, they're going to look so great. Some of the Warcry models are gorgeous for that. Yeah,
the gorgeous are insanely good.
I need that box too.
Yeah,
and I just want to put this out there for anybody who's listening who is an old Hammer player or is a new Age of Sigmar player, just let people enjoy things.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So if you're...
How dare you?
I know, right?
This is the worst internet, sir.
I'm the worst wargamer because I'm like positive. sorry, that was a lot of shade.
I have my own fun and you will have fun the way I want to have fun.
Right. This is someone who has a ton of metal dwarfs, which are gorgeous and I love them. And if somebody came up to me and said, can I use the new plastic dwarves as dwarves in fantasy? I'd say, do you like those minis? Then absolutely. Right? There's no reason for me to go up to them and say, well, these ones were so much better. You need to spend $500 on 10 minis on eBay and use those. Like, Sigmar is not real for this game, blah, 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 blah. Right? If that's how you feel, internalize that.
Right.
And just be happy with the minis you have. And let other people enjoy things. On the flip side, Sigmar people, welcome. You're very welcome here.
Yeah. Beastmen players, especially, welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Welcome.
You play however you think is appropriate. Just let us know what mini you're using for what unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I will say, and I don't know if you thought about this, you know, Taylor, but I love the Fire Slayer models. From Sigmar.
Mm-hmm.
I think those make just wonderful slayers. Like, just how crazy kooky they're positioned. And it doesn't all have to be fire themed, right? Like, you can paint it, mold it however you want to.
Yep.
And it's just amazing, right? You know, so the creativity from the hobby is really cool. The creativity, mind you, that I have zero of. I am always just an observer, like, wow, that's really cool. Please, Alyssa, please paint my model. You know,
I have all ideas, zero time, right?
1000%. Well, I think some people have seen some of the results of my quote unquote attempt of, you know, trying to paint my, I tried to paint, we have some lizardmen models. That was Alyssa's army of choice. In fantasy, she loved lizard men.
Nice.
Yeah, dinos are the best.
Yeah, oh, sure. Dinos, rhino, dinos. I mean, can you get better than that, right?
You know.
So we have some of those still around, and I asked if I could try to paint a cold one with some of the new contrast paint.
Sure.
And man, it was bad. It was just, you know those, like, oh, just all you got to do is stay in the lines. Nope, I can't do that. That's just.
I mean, when you play as much football as you did.
Look, you know, when you rattle this brain ball around a lot, you know, things get a little shaky. So.
Squishy object in hard cage and right, then shaking.
So I can barely talk. You know, people listen to me for a living. Isn't that weird? Like, those concussions come out sometimes. So
people listen to me for a living.
You know, people, it's crazy. But no, it's really wonderful. Like I said, I echo exactly what you said. You know, allow people to have fun the way that they want to, and just communicate. You know, if you're proxying or if something kind of looks like something else, just communicate it. You know, I've never been a big, you know, tyrant on WYSIWYG. Just let me know what it is. And if I ask you what it is, just tell me, right?
Yep.
It's not rocket science. So And I'll say we've got some really cool models that are kit-bashed from other things. That we've got a model that looks pretty close to Rapance. She's going to be my battle standard bearer. And I think those are neat things. And being able to kind of show that creativity is what I love about, you know, Games Workshop and the old world, you know.
Yep. All the character that you can bring out, right? Because old world is just full of it.
Yeah. Right? And people give me, I will say, people give me a hard time of being a Bretonian player, liking Bretonian. Oh, well, you like the humans in the fantasy world. I'm like, yeah, well, one, they're French English humans. And so I can make a funny French accent.
It's a strong case already.
Right. Already. Yeah. It's like, I mean, do you need more? Right. But being able to say, well, one, yes, they use magic, but it's not like, lizard men or even some of the builds that you can do with Empire, the magic that, the ladies use are not super proliferant, or proficient in aggressive magic, we don't use guns because guns are for sissies. So I just want to hit you.
And then throw bricks at people.
And then throw pieces of our broke down church. You knock down my church, my church knocks down you. That was always one of my favorite things when I read that. I was like, yeah. So like an orc invasion would ravage a region of Bretonnia, and they would just take some of those ravaged shrines of the lady and yeet them back at their enemy. Like, yes. Well, that's just efficiency, right? You knock down my building knocks you down. Like,
but have you heard of Tree Bucket?
Right. Yeah. Have you heard of Tree Bucket? So,
Gosh, man. So speaking of the lady, I don't know if you've heard of her.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
As a fan, and her realms, are there any area like units, characters, or models that you would love to see in Old World eventually?
What a great question.
Put me on the spot here.
So I will say one of the things that I was so glad that they put in Old World that they took away from fantasy for a long time was knights on foot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love foot slogging knights. Yes, it kind of goes against kind of the thought process of Bretonnia, because you just think them of the lance charge. But man, there are some really wonderful stories of just some Bretonnian knights who either get dismounted or just don't have, you're fighting in close combat, in an area where your horses aren't. And it shows the martial prowess of Bretonnian knights. So they don't need their horses to kick your butt. So I really loved that they added, that was one of my big concerns, that they weren't going to bring that back. They always had the rule of the virtue of empathy, which was that you could take a paladin and have them, go into a squire or a peasant unit. I would like to see, if I were to expand the Bretonnian roster, it's weird because some of the timing is weird of the setting in Old World now, because Bretonnia pretty much stays consistent technology wise, right? Until the end times, right? And the only thing that really changes, spoiler alert, if you don't know what happens in the end times, I'm gonna spoil some things, so you've had several years at this point. But when Giles reveals himself as the Green Knight reveals himself as Giles Le Breton, one of the first things that he does is to finish what Leon Kerr was working on, which was creating a formal army, and so you saw more of that men-at-arms, royal guard. So you didn't just have yeomen or men-at-arms, but you actually started to see more professional soldiers. And I'd like to see maybe some hints to that at maybe different types of bowmen, because that was kind of the first existence of that. We do have squires in the roster, which are just kind of better bowmen, and they can skirmish and can do some really cool things. I think with the Armies of Legacy as well in the journals, I think they've touched at the other kind of major parts with the Bretonian Exiles, which I'll never play because you're not a Bret player if you're doing it that way. But because you bring guns and magic, you freaking nerds. But the Crusading Army, is a great touch. I think with all three of those, it's really wonderful. They brought back the Hippogriff, right? Like the Bretonian Hippogriff.
Yeah.
I know. So I'm on a Facebook group where it's just the Kingdom of Bretonnia on Facebook, and so it's just a bunch of Bret lovers banding together. And the day they revealed that, I want to say there was close to like 700 posts of just like people, just like memes or like of birds and just all this like. It went nuts, right? And normally some of those groups are not the most positive places on the internet. That day, every Bretonnian just banded together and just was so like, they're bringing back the bird! Like,
Sigma, but the lady. Sigma!
Right?
Sigma!
It was really wonderful. So as a Bretonnian player, the roster that they have right now, I'm actually quite pleased with.
Heck yeah.
Now, some of the models could use some updating. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see new Grail Knights.
Oh, my gosh.
It's an old model.
Yeah.
And the ones that they have on the website are metal, which we won't go down that road. But I thoroughly enjoy some of these Grail Knight conversions that people do. I think some have been using the new like Cities of Sigmar stuff with kit bashing.
Those knights are so nice.
Yeah, and I saw a really wonderful reliquary that they've used from the Cities of Sigmar line that was really 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 cool. But there's nothing, there are characters that I would love to see. I would love to see a formal Raponce-like character.
Sure. Yep.
You know, if you're playing Bretonnia, you need a Joan of Arc, right? Like having characters that kind of just bring out the mythos of the Arthurian stories is always exciting. I'd like an updated Green Knight too. The Green Knight, cool model, is such a cool, iconic character. And his model is so chunky, like he's just a chunky boy, of that metal,
I think that was like a fifth or sixth edition model. I mean, all of Bretonnia is, let's be honest.
Yeah. I love the new range of the Foot Knights. I think those Foot Knights look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 22 of them for $60. I think it's 22 or so. There's a weird number of it, but for $60, which is great for GW. Compared to the three metal models of Grail Knights, that's $60, right?
They're kind of all over the place.
They are, and that's okay. Again, that's probably another cast for another time of GW,
right.
price and stuff. But, so I really think as a Bretonnian player, having unique characters show up, I'd like them to kind of hash out more Leon the Orc Slayer. Because I know that there's a lot of confusion of all the time that they could have picked. They chose the time when, the main character, the main king, Leon Kerr, not to be confused with Leon the Orc Slayer. They're like, there, we had other kings too, guys. Pick another time when a ruler isn't named Leon.
No, everyone likes that name though. So,
I mean, it's a cool name, you know. I know they're the main prophetess model is coming out soon too. So,
yeah,
they did finally like reveal that.
Yeah, I can't remember. Her name starts with an E. I don't fully remember her name.
Oh, I just saw it the other day. I cannot remember.
I will say one thing. If have you guys played Vermintide? You play Vermintide?
I've not played Rat Game. It looks really good though.
Okay. Well, let me take you for a ride, and you'll both have to watch. I'll have to send you this video. So they added a DLC for one of the main characters, Marcus, who was the Empire soldier. They added a DLC where he could become a Grail Knight. And the trailer for that DLC is that he has a vision of the lady. And the lady aggressively is like, drink from this. She like bullies Marcus, like, drink it. Drink from this cup right now.
Okay. And
it's the funniest thing in the world. Of like,
it's so good.
Most of the time when you think of in all of the stories in the Bretonnian lore is like, you go on this grail quest and you discover yourself. You have some great acts of heroism and it's like just really wholesome, right? And then you have this trailer, drink from this right now. Just drink from it.
Okay.
So sorry.
Don't hurt me.
Here's this Grail Knight who gets bullied into being a Grail Knight.
So I just want to be here anyways, guys.
If you haven't watched that trailer, it's Vermintide 2, Marcus becoming a Grail Knight or Grail Knight DLC. Watch that. It's like 2 minutes. You'll get a good laugh. It's really, really funny.
And yeah, we have a number of people who in the Discord who absolutely love Rat Game.
Yeah, so they just refer to it as Rat Game. People will just post in the Discord, Rat Game?
And then other people are like, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we live the dream. So again, that was another really long answer for a short question. But I think the models are really cool. And I'm just glad that they have foot knights and like the foot knights are not terrible. So
fair enough.
So to follow up on that, what are your plans for expanding your Bretonnians? I'm not sure what you have currently. Like, we know we don't have the Elmer's glue and scissor cut models anymore, but like, what do you plan on adding to that in the near future? Or do you plan on going a different direction and like building up Blizzard Men with Alyssa or anything like that?
Yeah. So right now we have the main starter box and, it is three characters and another unit box from another place.
Sure.
That
I've got some Avatars of War stuff too. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So yeah, just, and those models are absolutely gorgeous.
Right.
So it comes out to once they're fully built, if I did the math correctly, you fully kit them out with upgrades, it brings me to about 1,500 to about 1,600 points, somewhere around there.
Nice.
So the next step is I'd like to get the Knights on Foot is the next purchase, and then a blob of the Grail Reliquary and Grail Knights, or not Grail Knights, the Grail Monks.
The Pilgrims?
The Grail Pilgrims. I ran a proxy game with them in my 1,000-point game, and great googly moogly, you slap a paladin in that unit, and they're just never going anywhere. They're they're peasants, you know, with a knight, and they're like, oh, you wasted, you know, you put the virtue of empathy, like, okay. Just want to let you know this light slaps. So prepare thine self, and they're never running away. Because you give that knight the grail vow, so it buffs that unit. So it's wonderful. It's just chef's kiss.
That sounds rad.
Imagine with me a bunch of pilgrims with frenzy and stubborn. and who are running on not their leadership, but the Grail Knight's leadership, because he has the Grail Vow. And yeah, so
yeah,
Stubborn Nine.
No. Man, is this what you feel like all the time?
With frenzy. And if you want to challenge that, Grail Knight's going to accept every single time, and you're not going to have a good time.
Dan, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
For what?
I can't remember the name of the special flail, but the flail that breaks your magic weapons as well too. So
yeah,
you have a magic weapon. That's really cool. Broke.
Yeah, we have a rune for that.
Well, yeah.
There's a rune for that.
You're magic, not magic. But see, I just get to boop you with it, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's
the morning star of fracas.
Yes, thank you. Yep. And I have this wonderful model that depicts it very well. So, I mean, he's a big, chunky knight that with his morning star flail and. Yeah, it's great. So
I do love the Bretonians are like the only army that gets the Morning Star, just like a little baby flail. It still hurts.
Look, so I've always said, I don't know if you also played the game For Honor. That's a game that I loved as well. It's a big.
I know of it.
Yeah, it's like a fighting game, not fighting game, but you take these historical, types of characters. So like a samurai fights a knight and blah, blah, blah. And you duel each other. It's really cool. It's an old game. It's about maybe 7-8 years.
Wow. It looks old. Dope.
And so there is a character class called the Crusader, who is a knight with a shield and flail. And he's my favorite. He's my main. That's what I main in the game. And people argue, online all the time, like, oh, a flail warden. I'm like, I want you to imagine having a big metal, just big, thick metal chunk hit you in the chest.
No.
Right?
I don't want to do that.
Here's the thing. It's like, I don't need to cut your arm off. I just collapsed your bones in your chest.
Hey, did you enjoy breathing? Because your lung is collapsed. Yeah. It's like,
Robert Baratheon in Game of Thrones, right? Just look like I don't need to chop parts of your body off. I just hit you with this giant mace or flail and crush bones.
Yeah, man.
Just going to rack it.
Yeah, right? Man.
So that's what, if I was a knight, that's what I would be doing. I'm like, I don't need fancy sword stuff. What if I just hit you with this metal ball on a stick? Like,
See, that's one of my favorite things about hammers, right? War hammers as weapons. Just like, because most of the time, like one side is, ouch, my bones are broken. And the other side was usually a pick.
Right.
Like, oh, you have armor? Oh. No.
Now I just poke you. Yeah.
I'm going to poke right through it.
Yeah.
Hardest part of the Warhammer is gouging it back out of your opponent.
Well, and that was like the sad point of the Grail Pilgrims not having the Great Flail, like the Flagellants do for Empire. Look, I don't know if you've fought against some Flagellants from Empire yet with those Great Flails. It's really annoying. It's really annoying.
Yeah, Dan's cackling like that because he used to play Empire and he had Flagellants, and I'm like, I don't want them around me.
I love that unit so much. They were so great. Like, three of them died before it even started combat. They're better now.
Yeah, joke's on you. I love Sigmar more now. Like, wait, what?
Did you say Sigmar?
Right. What did you say about Sigmar?
Yeah, you can't say his name. So it's
not allowed.
It's a really cool thing. So I just love the flexibility of having an army that could really run all of those things. And be really cool, and it makes sense, So
yeah,
because like I said, I like the men at arms with pikes, but like I said, having a bunch of pilgrims doing some crazy pilgrim stuff. My hope is to build an army of the Errantry Knights, the Errantry Crusade. I also, I don't know what happened. There was the old models for the Knights Errants were all of the knights that didn't have the helmets on, but some people have been running them with helmets on. I'm like, what? You're killing me. No, you're supposed to be a bunch of young bucks who don't wear your helmet. That's the whole point.
You haven't earned it yet.
Yeah. It's like, well, I just, who needs a helmet, right? Like, I got this. Hold my spur. I got this. You know, so, I don't know if you've seen, have you seen the rules for the Errantry Crusade?
Is that in the, what is that thing
That's
called?
In the journal. That's in the
Arcane. The Arcane Journal? No, yeah. I haven't read up on that yet. We haven't done our Bretonnia episode. It's so funny because we've talked to three Bretonnia players. We haven't done the episode for yet.
Yeah, so spoiler alert. Right? They get another plus one to their movement.
No.
So, yikes. So they're re-rolling ones. They get a plus D3, plus one, plus another one. And that's before any magic buffs of their speed. So their threat range is just like, oh, I get you. I got you.
And they're impetuous, right? Errants?
All knight errants are impetuous. And so you have to run, I think it's you have to have two knights errants in part of the journal. But now Grail pilgrims become core. So
that's, you know, fun.
Yeah, it's real cool. It's real cool.
I like hitting people with stuff. It's fun.
If I remember correctly, I don't have it right in front of me. Grail pilgrims become core, but then bowmen become special. So
you don't want to shoot things. You want to charge things.
Look, I'm here to slap you.
Right. Just with a very pointy stick.
It's just with a pointy and really fast, right? So,
I love
Taylor
going
likes
fast.
That. Yeah,
going fast. It's team long move. That's what you need to be a Brett player,
right?
Team long move. Like, oh, I deploy, turn one, charge you from across the board.
This has been fun. Shake my hand.
You're right. Shake my hand. Let's. And I do appreciate that. So when I did play Bretonnia in 7th and early 8th edition, Bretonnia really struggles. Like, if I don't just wipe your unit on the charge, I just lose.
Yeah. Yep.
That still kind of exists. It's just not as bad, which I appreciate. That was my big concern as the rules were coming out for the game of, you know, okay, I'm going to charge you. And like, oh, look, they were spoiling some of the crazy charge shenanigans that like Grail Knights can do. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I can get out and charge you from just ridiculous amounts. Right. And what if I don't kill you? What if I don't kill you? How dead am I?
Yeah.
And it's really not as bad as it was before. It's still not great. Obviously, you want to try to wipe the unit, which is really hard to do in this game.
Obviously double-edged sword, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think overall it's better for the game. You know, nothing felt worse when, you know, your Grail Knight unit that was a quarter, if not more, of your army lost one combat by one roll, you know, failed the morale, got caught somehow, and just wiped by some core unit. It was like, oh, okay.
Yep. Nothing ruins your day more, right?
I guess I'm just gonna scoop. All right, let's.
It's so hard to flee from combat now.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah, so it's great. I don't know, and now that I'm thinking about it, thinking out loud, having a single entity model that's like monstrous might be good. I don't know what that might be. You know, maybe a feral, like Pegasus, feral. Hippogriff or something like that.
Like without a character on it, you mean?
Yeah, something without a character on it, just so we can deal with some of these like dragons that are, there's so many dragons running around. Like people.
Yeah, it's weird, Dan, isn't it? It's dragons all over.
Not weird at all. They're great.
Like, where are all these dragons coming
from? They're so cool. Talking about cool models in a fantasy game, you got dragons.
Yeah, it's got dragons. I don't like when they breathe on my army. Just like, peasants run away. They're just like, freaking cowards.
Get out of here. Breath smells so bad.
Right. But yeah, so that's kind of my plan to build on the Bretonnian army. And that's probably going to take me a while to do that again, because this is a labor of love, project. And so it's not that it's on the back burner, but we just want to take our time and It's not like we need this by a specific day.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we can't dive too far into it, but something you absolutely need to start collecting for is Full Tilt, because maybe one day we'll get a PCN Full Tilt jousting tournament. And if you're not there, then you are a square.
I mean, so let's name it now. The loser gets slapped by all of the other participants. Wait, a normal slap. It's a jousting slap. So it's a running slap.
We can build a slapping. What do you call the wall? Is that the tilt? The wall between the jousters? Yeah, we just got to run across and slap each other as we go by?
Yes, Dan, yes.
But I don't want to face you. You're way bigger than me. it's really going to hurt.
Tim got it once. I got to get every – and Taylor's got it. So, Dan, I don't think I've slapped you yet.
Well, you punched Taylor multiple times. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, we were in Vegas, and what happens there was supposed to stay there. But, my blood's all over the place.
Everyone keeps telling you left your blood all over the floor there.
It's funny because on the way home from Adepticon this year, No started bleeding again. I was like, Ben's not even here. Ben's
not, how did he hit me? I don't understand.
Preacher Man's always watching.
Look, the ladies just were like, oh, I got you back. Blam!
Right. So that I was going to suggest that for your single infant, your single model thing is just go to your neighbors next door where your lady lives and ask for a tree man or something.
Yeah, just hook me up. Yeah, just hey, can I have this big talking tree, please?
Right.
talking tree.
Yeah, I just want this. That's not like I said, the allies are pretty cool. And I will say there was a thing going around the internet that the Bretonians were just like a satellite country or state for the wood elves, because in the end times, the lady is like an elven god. And you know what? On you. Okay. My lady.
We don't talk about those here.
Well, and just look, my lady's prettier than yours and you're just jealous. So,
that doesn't mean we don't talk about the end times here.
Oh, and we don't talk about the end times. No. Keyslip is still there. Come on, just hold on, Keyslip.
Just for as long as you can, bud.
Poor Keyslip. They always get the worst of it.
It's only a few years before the incursion happens. So,
So I'm not going to lie. As a Slav, they do capture the Slavic experience of just it's always us. Why? why does it suck up here, guys?
Why us?
Just go invade literally anywhere else. You have access to water. You have magic. Please.
You can literally warp to different poles.
Right. You can go just biggity boppity boop to somewhere else.
Anywhere else.
Anywhere else. No. Just, all right. Cool.
I'm trying to eat my snow cone, man.
I'm just trying to have a freaking, I'm dealing with Baba Yaga in the wood. I don't. It's a freaking tree. It's a house with tree legs and chicken legs. I don't understand.
I'm so freaking scared right now.
So I can't wait. Keyslev is, again, just another wonderful. The second the Keyslev stuff comes out, like I said, I'll be buying that as well. And I'm excited for some Slav bear slaps, which will be glorious. The bear slaps and lance slaps are really the way to live. So.
Yeah. Yep. You just got to ensorcel that lance with some ice and you're set,
Yeah. So I will say one of the best Keyslev, units is the Griffin Legion, right?
Oh yeah.
And the Griffin Legion is just Keyslev Knights. If I mentioned it earlier, if you're a big, do you guys listen to Sabaton? Sabaton? Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar.
What? I don't know what it is.
Guys, I need to slap both of you next time I see you. You've said no to For Honor. You said no to Vermintide. And now you've said no to Sabaton. Okay. Everyone who's listening, I want you to pause the podcast. Okay. And I need you to listen to When the Winged Hussars Arrive, okay, by Sabaton. Sabaton is a heavy metal band that their songs are based on either fantasy battles or historical battles.
Oh, they're Swedish.
And When the Winged Hussars Arrive are when the Polish Winged Hussars come and save the day at the Siege of Vienna when the Ottomans are are trying to sack Vienna.
That sounds dope.
And if that song doesn't freaking jazz you up, you're not alive. So,
this reminds me a lot, actually, of who is it? The Sword.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
So the Sword is all about Norse mythology.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Sabaton is great. They've done songs like from the 40K universe as well too. I mean, Sabaton is great. They've got some really great music. But yeah, When the Winged Hussars Arrive, that will be my entrance music to every Kislev battle that I'll ever play. So
I mean, might as well just play it when we do Full Tilt, right? When you show up there.
I mean, look, yeah, don't tempt me with a good time.
Fair enough.
I might have to do it when I play Wintergard too. So
yeah, I'm going to be offended if you don't at this point. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Ben, thank you so much for this fantastic conversation. I don't know about you guys. I'm ready to play some Old World. Like
always.
Just, I'll put minis on the table.
I need to hit something now.
I need to slap stuff, but with a cannonball. a non-magical cannonball. It's a rune. It's different.
It's different, we swear.
Oh, man. But anyways, folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you again, Ben, for being here. And I just want to shout out some of the things that we do. ProfessionalCasual.com for all of our everything. We got our socials on there, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, everything. We do podcasts. If you're into Warhammer, obviously, that's why you're here. And you want to listen to some WFRP, WFRP actual play. We do a bunch of podcasts for that. Grim Podcast of Perilous Adventure, as well as what? Doomstones and Not Soulbound. That's the Age of Sigmar one?
Yes, we do that as well. Live stream that.
Yep. And what was the one you did?
Settling the Southlands.
That's it. Oh, my gosh.
The thing.
Right? The thing that Dan did. I'm so bad at plugging us. We have blogs over there written by a ton of people. Dan and Lindsay and Dr. D and... I think I wrote a couple as well.
We got some. Even Tim did a few.
Yep. We got some merch on the site. He found the milk, so he came back home a little bit to write a blog. We got some merch on the site as well. Everything's over there. Twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, where you can find me painting Mondays from 6 to 8 Eastern. You can find Tim playing games 3 p.m. almost every single day. You can find us playing actual games like of Marvel Crisis Protocol or Shatterpoint, probably some Old World here soon, 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. And sometimes we do Soulbound or other things on the weekend. And also, use that Frontline Gaming affiliate link down in the description below. Oh, Monument Hobbies, Professional Casual, get 10% off your order. You guys have anything you want to add?
If you're looking for MCP podcast, check out the Game Store Guardians, where you can listen to me and a couple of our other Pork Roll Protocol folks. So if you want to listen to my wonderful voice again, join us there. We also have Mike, Will, and Jeff, who are the main hosts of that. So give us a shout.
And I will absolutely remember to ask Ben to put a link in the show notes, because I'm good at remembering things.
Yeah.
I got good brain parts.
So good.
The squishy thing in the hard box is still working somehow. Anyways, guys, it was great to have both of you here, and we'll see y'all in the next one.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorpe actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild?, our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.